Linda, Richard, Dorothy, Dennis, Jennifer, Kenneth. Names tend to peak in popularity and then decline. This hour, we'll talk about the current trends in baby names. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Names in general have gotten more creative and diverse in recent years. Right now, girls' names are getting more girly, and boys' names are getting more adventurous. Our English language expert Patricia O'Connor has been studying these trends, and she'll share what she has found with us. We also want to hear from you. How did you pick your kids' names? How has your name influenced you? Do you prefer creativity or tradition? Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. If you spend time with baby boomers, you probably know a lot of Lindas and Dennises. If you're part of Gen X, how many Jennifers and Michaels do you know? If your kids were born in the 90s, chances are they know a lot of Ashleys and Britneys. Names in general have gotten more creative and diverse in recent years, but there are always a few that stand out at the top of the list. Patricia O'Connor is an expert in the English language. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books. She's also a blogger at grammarphobia.com, and she's been studying these naming trends, and she is with us on the line. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I mentioned Lindas and Dennises because those are my parents' names. And
yes.
When I was a kid, it felt like every adult we ever met also was named Linda or Dennis. Yes.
Right. And in the early 50s, there were so many Barbaras and Susans. And it's funny how you can almost tell the year someone was born, or the decade anyway, by his or her name. Well, not always. With girls, you can. It's easier with girls.
Right, right. Michael seemed to span many generations.
Yes, yes. Historically, names have always tended to emphasize gender differences. And in the past, you could usually always tell instantly by a child's name whether it belonged to a boy or a girl. There were names like John and Mary, and seldom did the twain meet. Now, I use John and Mary as examples because for centuries, about almost 400 years since the earliest white settlements in America, the most popular American name for a male was John, and the most popular female name was Mary. Now, John was the most common male name among passengers on the Mayflower. And from the Puritans on down, John was the most popular name for newborn American boys until the early 1920s. And from then until the 70s, it was still in the top five. Now, Mary was the number one name until the late 1940s. It's pretty astonishing that those names held first place for that long. And then in the 40s, Mary started bouncing back and forth between number two and number one. And then suddenly in the late 1960s, Mary suddenly disappeared from the top five. And today, Mary is down below the top 100 nationally, as well as in Iowa, as a choice for a girl's name. But John, meanwhile, is still a fairly popular name. It's now ranked 28 nationally among the top 1,000 names, and number 59 in Iowa, which is pretty respectable. So that's sort of the background we're talking about when we look at when names really started changing a lot. But while all this was happening with John and Mary, there were big changes brewing further down in the popularity rankings. Boys and girls' names started becoming less identifiable as belonging to either boys or to girls. Now, the first wave of this happening was in the around the turn of the 20th century, in the late 19th and early 20th century, the names Leslie, Evelyn, Shirley, Sydney, Beverly, and a couple of others were male names. Lynn also, L-Y-N-N. They were identified as male names. But then, around that time period, people started giving those names to girls. Now, the first parents who named their daughters Evelyn or Evelyn and Shirley and Leslie were perhaps being a little adventuresome. But as these names became increasingly used for girls, parents of newborn boys started turning away from them. You wouldn't want to name your child Shirley in 1930 if it was starting to shift and become a female name. So as those names lost their masculine character and became associated with girls, they then lost their novelty as unusual girls' names, because part of the reason for their appeal among parents of daughters was that they were
different,
unusual.
Right.
They were different. They were kind of masculine. Now, something similar happened again in the late 20th century when there was a new and much larger wave of names that were not marked one way or the other. As far as gender. In other words, they haven't been previously identified as strongly male or female. And these were given to boys and girls alike, starting maybe in the 80s. These two were somewhat androgynous. You may remember names like in the 90s, like Madison, Morgan, Riley, Addison, Avery, Peyton, and Dakota. Names like that were given to boys and girls at first. Now, why did names like this suddenly become popular? That's an interesting question. It would be easy to assume that it was just one more result of the move toward gender equality in language. But on the other hand, maybe these more androgynous names simply represented a new direction in taste or fashion or creativity. Maybe parents just liked the way they sounded. Well, for whatever reason, names like these, as I said, were given to boys and girls alike. But then, within a couple of decades of the 90s, around 2010, thereabouts, these were becoming given mostly to girls. Now, there were exceptions. The androgynous names Jordan, Chandler, and Casey sort of battled it out among the boy column and the girl column and eventually went into the boys column. That's Jordan, Chandler, and Casey. But the others, the Madison, Morgan, Riley, Addison, Peyton, and Dakota, typically those ended up on the girls' side. Now, as before with Beverly and Shirley and Leslie, as an androgynous name becomes more popular as a girl's name, it declines as a boy's name. And then, ironically, it's less androgynous because it's associated with females. And as it loses its androgyny, it becomes less popular as a girl's name. It lost what made it special. Now, here's an Iowa statistic as an example of this trend. In 1990 in Iowa, the name Taylor was almost as popular for newborn girls as it was for newborn boys.
Hmm.
But by 2000, this is only in 10 years, in Iowa, Taylor had jumped to number 7 for girls, but it fell out of the top 100 for boys. So in that 10-year period, it became identified as a girl's name. Now, maybe this is with the help of Taylor Swift. Could be. By 2010, Taylor was sinking rapidly in the ratings. This is another 10 years on. Taylor was sinking rapidly as a girl's name. It had fallen in Iowa from number 7 in 1990 to number 7 in 2000 to number 31 in 2010, and then it dropped sharply. It's still dropping. As of 2016, the last year for which the Social Security Administration has statistics, it's no longer in the top 100 names for newborn girls in Iowa.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So, yeah, it's interesting. What happens to a suddenly trendy name that's a little bit androgynous within about, 30 years? We're looking at between 1990 and 2016. It has become no longer fashionable.
That's very interesting. I almost wonder if having someone who rises to super celebrity status causes a drop in the name because it feels common.
It feels more common.
Right.
That could be.
Well, I look at Britney, which was incredibly common. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that was
right.
Ranked number, it looks like 21 in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And now it's number 408.
Yes. Yes. That's a good point. Now, interestingly, when a celebrity latches onto a name, it can have an effect. This may be the reason that currently Charlotte is returning to popularity. It's number 6 in Iowa for girls named Charlotte. And that's a little bit out of left field. But the Duchess of Cambridge
right.
named her little daughter Charlotte. And, of course, she's adorable. And that doesn't hurt. Now we don't know whether it's going to move up or down or what. We'll have to see. But
one of the other things that I find so interesting when I think about trends, and as a parent, this totally happened to me twice, is that I thought I was picking distinctive, not strange, mm-hmm. but distinctive names.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I picked them, they just kept rising in popularity.
Yeah.
So instead of being a free thinker, apparently I was part of, of some
well,
sort
maybe
of
you were,
trend.
Maybe you were on the cutting edge.
Right, right.
I remember in 1988, a friend of mine had a daughter and decided to name her Emma. And that was unusual at the time.
I know so many Emmas.
And now every other kid is named Emma.
Right.
It's number 2.
It's a beautiful name. But
it's a beautiful name. It's number 2 in Iowa, and it's number 1 in the nation. So Emma has, maybe she should have chosen Mildred if she wanted to stay unusual.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because people do, you know, when they want to be distinctive, they tend to go for these more old-fashioned names.
Yes.
But then we've seen, at least just anecdotally speaking, I've seen, you know, some of these names peaking. Like Violet is an example of that, an old-fashioned name that almost completely disappeared. And then there are quite a few Violets around. It looks like it was ranked 50th in 2015.
Yes. Now, somebody famous named a daughter Violet.
Yeah, Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner, yes. And I thought at the time, ooh, that's so interesting. Now, another name that has not caught on is Gwyneth Paltrow's choice of Apple.
Now, I actually know an Apple.
You do know an
I
Apple?
I do. So, yeah, but it didn't seem to get very big.
Yeah. The E-L or L sounding ending of a name is usually more popular among boys than it is among girls. I'm not saying you don't hear it. I mean, there's Isabel, Gabrielle, but usually those are shortenings of Isabella, Gabriella, Arabella, whatever. The just plain L ending is more common among men's names than women's.
Interesting.
Yeah, and another trend I've noticed, it's not just returning to older names, it's returning to more girly names.
Well, and we'll have to talk about the more feminine names in just a moment. My guest is Patricia O'Connor. She is an English language expert. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And you are welcome to join the conversation with your questions about names, your stories about names. How has your name influenced you? What are your preferences? Do you like creativity? Do you like traditional? Let us know. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about trends in baby names. With me, Patricia O'Connor. She is an expert in the English language. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books. She also blogs at grammarphobia.com. She's been studying these trends. You are welcome to join the conversation, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So, Patricia, we'd been talking about sort of androgynous names for girls being quite popular, and now we seem to be heading the other direction.
Right. I guess I shouldn't use the name girly, but that's that's how I think of it. The latest popular names, Emma, Olivia, Ava, Sophia, Isabella, Charlotte, Abigail, they are unambiguously female. You couldn't mistake kids named that for boys. Meanwhile, on the boys' side, there's a trend there, too. They're becoming more Old Testament. Old Testament names are on the rise fast for boys, names that were very unusual in the mid-century that we're seeing all over the place now. Names like, excuse me, Noah, Adam, Caleb, Daniel, Elijah, and Eli, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Joshua, and Samuel. In fact, Noah is currently the number one favorite nationally and the number eight favorite in Iowa. Hmm. Now, boys' names have always been more likely to come from biblical sources than girls' names, which were, on the whole, more secular.
Right. I was going to say that makes a lot of sense because there are a lot more men mentioned in the Bible.
Oh, sure. Right. And, you know, we all know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But these Old Testament names are, this is a new trend.
Interesting. So in looking at that trend, and I don't know if this is something you'd have access to or not, does it tend to correlate with religious beliefs or not?
It's interesting you should bring that up because the Social Security Administration, of course, just has the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been a study. People have interviewed parents who tend to give their children the Old Testament names. And they found that there's no correlation whatsoever with their church-going habits or with their religious beliefs. They just like those names.
All right.
Yeah. So that's where that comes from. So people don't often have deep philosophical reasons for giving their kids names. They do sometimes, but generally, they just like the name.
Well, I always find it interesting, you know, when people are trying to come up with names for their children, or even dogs and cats, they look at those baby name books, and all of the names have meanings with them, but I don't think most of us choose that way. We choose just because we like the sound of it.
No, we don't. If the names had a meaning, people never would have named their daughters Jade.
Mm.
You know, Jade.
Which is a beautiful name.
It's a beautiful word.
Yeah.
Jade. But a jade, if you look it up in the dictionary, is not a nice woman. and even the word jaded means exhausted, or it can be used in a cynical way to mean someone who's, you know, doesn't care.
Of course, people could be thinking about the beauty of the gem.
They could be thinking that, yes.
Or the stone.
Yes.
We have a lot of people on the phone who want to join this conversation. So let's get to some calls. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I shared one of my favorite baby name tools on Twitter, so you can find that and play around with that as well. Let's go to Marcia in Iowa City. Hi, Marcia.
Good morning. I'm so happy you took my call, and I appreciate the level of knowledge and expertise your gifts bring to the table this morning.
Oh, thanks a lot. What's your question?
Certainly. One child for me, and we named him Joseph after his great-great-grandpa, one of the old names.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband said if we had a female, a daughter, he wanted to name her Randy. And I had no success convincing him that Randy would not be an appropriate name. For a girl.
Oh, you mean as the old trick. Adjective, Randy?
Yes.
Yes, right.
Well,
it does
which
have
is
that.
Common, which is still, that adjective is still common in England and Australia.
As in you, Randy old goat.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you bring up an interesting point about the difference between the attitudes in naming boys and girls, because traditionally boys have always been much more likely to be named after parents, grandparents, uncles, whatever, a traditional family name, whereas girls aren't traditionally named after other people in the family. People strive generally to come up with, ever since Mary started thinking, have strived to come up with something new and fresh for a baby girl. So it's interesting.
I have noticed that sometimes those old family names do get in as the middle name for
mm-hmm. a girl. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Right. And sometimes a mother's last name will be a child's middle name. Yeah.
Well, it is funny, also. Marcia, looking, I like, it's called Baby Name Wizard. I love to play with this. And it looks like Randy actually peaked as a girl's name in the 1950s at, it was like 600 and some in the 1950s for girls, although I've never met one. But it
peaked, I know a Randy,
do
a
you?
Girl. Yes.
It peaked in the, it looks like it also peaked for boys at almost the same time at number 33 on the list.
Oh. Yeah, and I had a boss named Randy, a man.
Ah, I had a question about the name Scott. I seem to have a spate of friends named Scott. They're all kind of born in the same decade. Is that how Scott runs?
Well, let me see. I've got a tool here so that I can look up the popularity of Scott from 1900 and later. And here I go. And I remember. Oh, gosh. It seemed like every other little boy was named Scott when I was growing up. So many Scotts.
Well, I think it's another one of those really popular baby boomer names.
Yeah, I think so. And, yes, here it is. Current popularity, Scott is about the middle of the top 1,000, 465. But it was in the, oh, gosh, throughout the, from, let's see, from the 50s through the 70s. Through about the mid-90s, it was way up there. It was in single digits. And its top popularity seems to be number 10 in 1971.
Oh, wow. And it's dropped a lot these days.
Yeah. So it's down a ways. But I want to say one thing about the database I'm looking at, the Social Security database. Mm-hmm. It arranges names strictly by spellings. Different spellings of the same name aren't combined. So when I mentioned
ranking, alternative spellings have gotten to be very popular.
Yes, exactly. Now, you can see this in the Iowa rankings. For instance, a popular boy's name in Iowa is Jackson, but it has different rankings under different spellings. The J-A-C-K-S-O-N is ranked number 9, while J-A-X-O-N is ranked 17. It's the same as is true of the girl's name Sophia with a PH and with an F has different rankings. And the girl's name Riley, spelled R-I-L-E-Y, it's ranked number 40 in Iowa, while spelled R-Y-L-E-E, it's 64.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, and I won't even go into the Caitlin. You
know
how
so many
ways there are to spell
that.
Caitlin? It's unbelievable.
All right, we are talking about baby names this hour. My guest is Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com, and you are welcome to join the conversation, 866-780-9100. Marcia, thank you for your call. Robert is up next in Marshalltown. Hi, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, you mentioned a little earlier about trying to find unique names and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When my first child was born, we named her Alicia, which ended up being real popular as Alicia.
Oh, yeah.
But her name is Alicia, A-L-A-Y. And my wife and I, or at least me, have always thought that names should go together. They should rhyme. So her name was Alicia Serene. I'm on the radio, actually.
Yes,
no, that and then my son, we named our first one Severio, and after his grandfather, which is an old family name. And then my next son is Maximiliano.
Oh,
and these
beautiful.
Are names that are never, ever going to show up on anybody's.
Pretty names. Actually, I want to say something about the names you've chosen. We were just talking about spellings. When people give their children, in English, the spellings are all over the place, but Spanish names are pretty much always spelled the same way. How else can you spell Maximiliano? The same is true in French. Generally, French names don't vary in their spellings. And German names don't vary much in their spellings. It's in the English-speaking world that people take these spelling liberties and get really creative with different kinds of spelling. So I thought that was an interesting difference, at least globally, in how people look at names.
Absolutely. And Robert, are you still there?
Well, yes. With Severio, his grandfather's name was actually Severino.
Uh-huh.
So we changed it to Severio. Uh-huh. And then we gave him Robert John for two middle names.
So but how do your kids like their unique names? Have they weighed in on it?
They love them. They love them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Maximiliano, we broke into two names, Max being his first name, which is fairly common, and then Emiliano being his second name. But they both have two middle names. So Max's full name is Max Emiliano Cicata, which was his grandfather's or his mother's maiden name. And then my last name is Mancieri, which is quite a mouthful if you look at it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Robert, thank you so much for sharing those with us today. Let's go next to Lisa in Boone. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What's your comment today?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have kind of an interesting story. My husband was born in 1939, and his name was Connie, C-O-N-N-I-E. A lot of people wanted to know if it was short for Conrad or something else, and it never was. So I was just curious about the popularity of that name for little boys back in that era. I know that he always told the story, he worked with a guy named Carol, and he worked with a guy named Shirley, and there was a Connie in the crew, and so it seems like girls' names were quite popular for little boys back in that era, and I can certainly take your response offline.
Well, and it sounds like Connie probably wasn't a girl's name if he was born in 1939.
Actually, I'm looking at the top names of the 1930s, and let's see, the Social Security Administration only gives the top 200, and Connie isn't in there. It's in the girls' column, but not in the boys'.
Interesting.
But it may be that you said he was born in 1939.
1939, yeah.
I can look in the 40s. Let me look in the 40s and see if there's a Connie.
Well, and I'm looking at the...
Oh, only in the girls' column.
There is, on the tool that I'm using, the baby name Wizard, it does rank in the 1940s for boys at 500.
Ah, okay.
But for girls, it was at 50, so...
Yeah. I knew so many Connies and Diana, lots of Dianas. I knew Pamela's, Wanda's, Brenda's, Gloria's, all these names that, you know, I guess my era. My own name, Patricia, it was in the top 10 for decades from the 20s through the 60s. It was often number 3 or 4. But for some reason, it fell off really steeply in the 1970s, and now it's only number 745 nationally. It's not even on the radar in Iowa. So there you go. But your name, Charity.
Not
wanted
really
to get
on...
to Charity.
Right.
Yeah, it's genuinely unusual. The name hit its peak in popularity nationwide in 1975.
That was the year I was born.
It was. Well, it was ranked number 183 in that year. Now, it's no longer ranked in the top 1,000 girls' names nationally, and the government's state-by-state breakdown goes back only to 1960, and it shows the name again was at its most popular in the mid-70s.
Well, there was a weird little nexus of charities in my high school. There were 4 of us.
Oh, really? Well, you know, the name in Iowa peaked in 1974, the year before you were born, when 34 newborn babies were given the name Charity.
and I guess half
yes,
of them at least
the following
went to my
year,
high school.
I think it was something like 33 or 32. I didn't write that one down. But so, your name is genuinely unusual. And it's interesting that when you run into another Charity, she's probably going to be about your age.
Yep. And I haven't met that many. My parents tried really hard to pick unusual names. My oldest brother's name is Carver, which is very unusual, and it's always been unusual. But they misfired with my middle brother's name. Not that it's a bad name, but they thought that Nathan was unusual, and it certainly didn't turn out to be.
No. But there you go. And I'm sure that people who started naming their children Noah it felt that it was unusual at the time, and it probably was. Because how do you know?
Right.
Right.
But well, I mentioned that I thought I was being a little unusual. My son's name is Carter, which I didn't know any Carters before Carter was born. And it became very popular in the years after he was born. And I know quite a few Carters now.
Yeah, I know a Carter. he was in my college class.
All right. Well, and if you hung out with small children, you'd know a lot.
You'd say, you know, Noah, Emma, and 8 kids would come running.
Right, right.
But I wanted to talk about the number, the top names in Iowa. We haven't quite gotten to those yet. The top number one baby names in the state in 2016 were Oliver and Olivia, which I thought was interesting because it's so symmetrical.
Yeah.
Now, the number two names in Iowa were Owen for boys and Emma. And it's interesting to note that Emma was such a comeback because it was at number three in the 1880s. Then it became obscure. And now in the 1980s, it had a resurgence. So it's funny. But the number three baby names in Iowa in 2016 were the very traditional William for boys and the very avant-garde Harper for girls. The name Harper was relatively rare before 2004. It ranked near the bottom of the top 1,000. But in 2013, probably because of all the publicity surrounding the author Harper Lee and To Kill a Mockingbird, it shot up.
Interesting.
And
well, and that
it's
bucks
still shooting
the,
up.
Right. That bucks the trend that you were just talking about, because Harper is a fairly androgynous name.
Yes, it is. But because it's famous for belonging to a female author, it's you aren't likely to find it for boys.
Interesting.
You didn't find boys being named that in 1913, just girl, or 2013, just girls.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We will get to your calls. Be patient. 866-780-9100 is the number. With me today, Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com, and we are talking about baby name trends this hour. 866-780-9100. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about trends in baby names. Patricia O'Connor is here with me. She's an expert in the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. We have a lot of people who want to join this conversation. We'll get to some emails in a moment, but I want to get back to the phones. Jeff is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Jeff.
Well, good morning. And yeah, my name is spelled G. I'm a G off.
Okay, so Jeffrey with a G.
Yeah, and it was always a problem. I'm like in my mid-60s now. When I was a little kid, you know, it was a problem because I would have to clarify that I'm Jeffrey with a G and a Stevens with a V. That's my last name is Stevens, but so I went through this kind of, you know, no one paid attention to me for 50 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden now there's all these Jeffries out there, and I don't know why. Is that something to do with Chaucer,
yes,
or something?
Well, no, I don't know when you were born, but take the year 1936. The name Jeffrey, spelled with G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, was almost at the bottom of the top 1,000.
Yeah.
But it shot up during the middle of the century, starting in about 1970. Between 1970 and between the 70s and the 90s, it shot up and became very popular with that spelling.
Yeah.
So that's different. Yes. So that spelling became trendy.
Nonconformist.
J-E-F-F-R-E-Y and more G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y.
So did you feel distinctive, or was it frustrating to always have to spell your name?
Well, people would never be able to find me on the lists and stuff in the school and everything. And but I did think it was very distinctive, and my middle name is Scott. And it's a very important sounding name. So,
yes.
As a little kid, I was precocious with glasses, and I just thought, you know, I'd wear suits and ties and go to prep school and stuff. But you know, it was always kind of a, you know, a unique thing. But I appreciate your grammar phobia interests, and I love root words, and I love all the things to do with grammar and English, and I took Latin in school, and I love the idea of finding where things come from.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for calling. Obviously, a big Patricia O'Connor fan. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for the nice words.
We have a lot of emails. This one's from Scott. He says, our daughter is named Lorna after my grandmother. Many people tell us it's a beautiful name, but it's not common. She's always sad because she can never find her name on keychains and souvenir shops. I had the same problem growing up. Yep, very annoying. This one is from another Patricia. She says, it was traditional in my mother's Sicilian family to name the firstborn daughter or son after the paternal side. My grandma Rosalie thought I should be named Bertha after my dad's mother. Thank goodness I was born on St. Patrick's Day.
You know, there's a good reason why girls aren't named after their female relatives, because those female relatives were named in decades when, say, the name Bertha was common, and it's no longer a fashionable name. So that's another reason, I think, why girls aren't named after their relatives.
Well, that's interesting.
I mean, you don't want to be named Opal or Mildred or Dorothy, because those names aren't current anymore.
Interesting.
Whereas John, Robert, Scott, Thomas, George, you know, Charles.
Right. They don't sound dated.
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
This one's from, I'm not sure, actually, but it says, from Caesar. Good. He says, my wife, Cammy, and I just had a baby. Congratulations, by the way, August 2nd. And baby Gonzalez didn't get named for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
My wife is a Caucasian, 27-year-old, born in Dubuque, loved the name Jackson with an X, but she was, and she was set on this name. Myself, a Mexican man raised in Dubuque since 1997, loved the name Santiago. We both wanted a name that could be unique, yet that both cultures could say. We finally agreed on Eisen Lionel. Because it was completely different and unique. They looked around, he said, that it is used by less than 17,000 worldwide, and he asked the hospital staff, and they said they'd never had one before.
So, now, how is it spelled?
It's spelled I-Z-A-N, but he says it's pronounced I-Z-E-N, Eisen. Very unusual.
I like Santiago myself.
Yeah, that's a good one,
you
too.
You could call him Sandy for short.
Well, I don't know if he'd like that.
Maybe not.
I love that, of course, Iowa has become much more diverse, and that's reflected in the diversity of names. But I noticed that in other cultures, the same thing seems to happen, where boys' names are very predictable and girls' names are more creative. There are many children whose families originated in Sudan at my kids' school. There are lots of Mohammeds that they go to school with, but the girls' names are far more diverse. I know a Hoeda and a Miriam and a Maha and a May and a Rayan and just some really Heba, really beautiful names that I'd never heard before. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But much more diverse than their brothers tend to be.
You know, I think there's another trend going on in Iowa besides the names becoming more ethnically diverse. I think there's another trend. I think Iowans are a little bit ahead of the curve on choosing popular names. And the reason I say this is with many of the names I look at, when I look at the ratings in Iowa and the ratings nationally, a lot of these names are rated, well, let me give you an example. Take Oliver. Since the 1900s, it's been in the top 1,000, but not generally very high up nationally. Now, it started climbing in the 1990s. And nationally, it reached number 12 last year, and it's still going up, but it's number 1 in Iowa. So does that mean Iowa parents are ahead of the curve? They got there first?
We must be.
Well, it's true of the name Owen, the number 2 boy's name. Again, since 1900, it's always been in the top 1,000, but usually not very high. In the country as a whole, it has begun climbing, and it's now at 23, and it's still going up. Upwards. But in Iowa, it's number 2.
Huh.
And here's another one, a less common name, the name Ivy. I've always loved that name for a girl, and I wondered why it was so uncommon. The only one I've ever heard of was Ivy Baker Priest, who I think was the treasurer in the 60s or something. But anyway, almost every year since 1900, it was in the top 1,000, but very far down. In the latest batch of statistics, it's number 112 in the country, the highest ranking it ever reached nationally, and it's climbing fast. But in Iowa, Ivy is number 37.
Huh, that's so interesting.
So again, Iowa looks like it's ahead of the curve. Now, I'm not a statistician, so it may be these figures could be interpreted very differently, but it looks to me like Iowans are on the cutting edge.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's exciting. We don't tend to have that reputation. I know a beautiful little Ivy who's going to be a first grader next week.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
That's fun. And it is interesting. I mentioned Carter earlier. It wasn't that common. We were living in Michigan, although rising in popularity, we moved back to Iowa, and there it was on the top 10. So maybe.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah. Something else to bolster your observation. All right, let's get back to the phones. Bob is on the line in Ames. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Charity. I'm on, excuse me, I had to get rearranged here.
Yep.
We have a granddaughter named Ryan who's 9. And at that point, I didn't know of any other girls named Ryan. We had friends in their teens and 20s and 30s, male friends named Ryan. Dinah's hairdresser's granddaughter was named Ryan. But it's fascinating because since that point, we've seen a lot of girls with Ryan spelled in a variety of different ways, but we've not seen any boys that age or younger. It's like that name has switched from being a boy's name to a girl's name.
Very interesting.
Well, these things happen with Riley, too. Actually, Ryan is very popular among boys, though. It's nationally, it's in the 40s. And maybe a few years ago, it was like number 10 or number 11 nationally among boys. Oh, that wasn't, yeah. In the 90s, it got to be number 11. So it's still a little advanced for a girl to be named Ryan. But people are fearless about giving their daughters boyish names. They are not fearless about giving their boys girl names.
Right.
So you see, there are women named John. Believe it or not, all through the 20th century, there have been women named John. Statistically, it's true. I never knew one, but they're there.
Right, but you don't find men named
you
Mary.
You don't find men named Mary.
Very interesting. All right, next up, we've got Joette in Riverside. Hi, Joette.
Hello.
That's an unusual name. Where did Joette come from?
Well, my grandfather was named Joseph, and my dad was so sure I was going to be a boy that they wanted to name me Joseph. And I always thought, you know, when my dad finally stopped crying about me not being a boy, that he decided to name me after my grandfather anyway. So,
oh, yeah.
Nice. And, well, it's a lovely name.
And I've met many women who have my name, but no one that is older than me, and I'm 66.
Hmm.
And there's Joetta, mm-hmm. but no Joette that's over 66.
I know a Joellen. And I also know I've met people named Joelle.
I think of Josephine, of course.
Well, Josephine, of course. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, why didn't he choose Josephine?
We may never know. Joette
is very pretty, though. It's distinctive and makes you special.
Right. Joette, thank you so much for your call. Susan is up next in Iowa City. Hi, Susan.
Hi. When my husband and I had our first baby in 1974, we decided to name our child by our initials, which we shared. S-A-H, and so we named her Saffron Ann, and then lo and behold, we ended up having 5 children, and so we had to come up with S-A-H names for everybody, and it got a little more difficult as time went on.
So the first child was named Saffron?
Saffron Ann,
uh-huh.
And we tried to do one more uncommon name, they had a common name so that they could choose. And some of them have chosen their first name, which starts with S, and some have chosen their second name, which starts with A. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the kind of a thing that I would advise for parents is to name If they're going to name an uncommon name, name also a more common name.
Yes.
Yeah, my parents did the same thing. Charity Ann and Carver William. So they had the same kind of protection in place. We have a lot of emails here. I want to get to a few of the Twitter comments, too. This one's from Dirk. He said, we named our daughter Kelsey in 1989, thinking it unique, but so did everyone else. All right. Here's a question from Twitter. Where does Tory, T-O-R-Y, rank for a girl's name? We also have another question about a Greta with two T's. I think Greta with one T is more common, but Greta with two T's I don't think is particularly common.
Now, how is Tory spelled?
T-O-R-Y.
Okay.
For a girl.
Okay. And this is going to be just the spelling, T-O-R-Y, girl, go. Let's see. Oh, it's not in the top 1,000 names.
So pretty unusual.
Yeah, so it's not, I can't find a ranking for it.
This one, Kimberly shared this comment. She says, I kept my daughter's name secret until her birth because I didn't want anyone to steal it from me. Probably a good
plan.
Well,
they could always steal it afterward.
It's true, but then that's an honor, right?
Yeah.
Cody wanted to know about Greta, G-R-E-T-T-A. What do you see for that one?
Let me see.
And while you're looking for that, I'll share this comment. This is from... let's see. Fawn. She says, I was named Fawn Taya, and I never did find my name on any keychain, coffee mug, or other trinket.
Okay, is that F-A-W-N?
Yeah.
Okay, Greta isn't in the top 1,000.
All right, Greta with two T's is not.
No. Let me look for Fawn. Nope, Fawn isn't. But let me try Greta with one T.
All right.
Because I think I've known Gretas over the years.
I know a lovely Greta who's...
yeah.
Turning 13 this week.
Yes. It's about in the middle of the top 1,000. So it's like number 632. I like Greta. I think it should be more popular.
All right. That's noted. Here's a comment from Scott. He says, we have two boys named Lewis and James. We picked them because they were traditional. People would know how to spell them and the versatility that there are nicknames for them.
Yes.
We may have another baby soon, and we like the name Dorothy as a girl. Dottie,
yes, I think
or
Dorothy
Dot.
Is a wonderful name, and it should be revived. You know, for a long time, I mentioned that Mary was sort of all alone up there because the number 2, 3, and 4 names were always changing around. But for a while, it was Dorothy. Dorothy was the number 2, and I think, 30s and 40s, something like that. Dorothy was once very common, and I think it's very pretty. Same with Dorothea, very pretty name.
It's interesting. He mentions Lewis, for example.
Lewis, that's a number 1 name in France for boys.
Nice, nice. Well, yes. It reminds me of a trend that I've seen over the years too. That for boys' names in particular, it seems like traditional last names become first names.
Yes. Now this is a whole. This could be a whole other show.
And we only have a minute left. So.
Andrews, Charles, Edwards. That so many boys' names are last names.
That's very interesting.
I won't get into it.
All right. And then we've had a number of women write in to say, hey, I was named after somebody in my family. So Catherine, apparently, that's a traditional name in their family. They have a long line of Catherines, although they all go by different nicknames, which is also typical when a lot of people have the same name.
That's a good way to tell them apart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Glenna wants to mention that she was named after her great-grandfather, Glenn, and they feminized it to Glenna.
Good.
So many great names. So many interesting names out there. Patricia, thank you so much for talking with me today.
My pleasure.
Patricia O'Connor, she is an expert in the English language, the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. I wish we could have gotten to more of your calls and comments this hour, but thank you so much for sharing your stories. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.